And learning tonight, all the Torah we learn, all the chizik we gain, should be for refuah shleima, for Hadassah Etya Hinda Bas Miriam Leah, someone I'm very close to, is a very special person. She's having a surgery tomorrow afternoon. We should have her in our tefillos as well. Hadassah Etya Hinda Bas Miriam Leah, Mirtz Hashem, should refuah Yeshuos, should be big refuahs. Karov, Rabban Hashem, Malach Rafal should be by your side. And Zoicha only Simcha and Zoicha only Bracha. It's mamish scary how quickly Chanukah passes us by. Oh. Just two nights ago, we were sitting by our candles, by the licht. Some of us, it feels like 2 weeks ago already. 1 week ago, we were together singing and dancing and having tish. And here we are. Chanukah's already gone. So we've mentioned before that Chanukah and Sukkot are extremely interconnected. The Sifrei Chassidus talk about a lot of connections and compare and contrast Chanukah and Sukkot. Chanukah and Sukkot are both 8 days long. There's discussions about tshuva, the tshuva of Av of Sukkot that ends ultimately Chanukah time. Mahadrin, be mekayim mitzvos with the Mahadrin. Obviously, we could mekayim and we should be mekayim all our mitzvos with the Hiddur, with the beautification of the mitzvos. But pre-Eitz Hadar, specific to Sukkot, and Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, to Chanukah, we don't find like this, these such a strong connection to Mahadrin by other places, other mitzvos, other Yom Tovim. The connection to Kohanim, the Sukkah, is L'Rami, isn't to remember the Anan HaKavod, which is Chus Aron HaKohen. In Chanukah, the whole entire Geulos, the Chashmonaim, or the Kohanim. Even just the Gemara and Shabbos Chavalev, as we spoke about last week, talks about the Shita Veshama, Poiches Ve'olach, going 8, 7, 6, 5, compared to the Pari HaChag, the Karbonos of Sukkot. So if this is true, if Sukkot and Chanukah are so interconnected, so that means that Zois Chanukah is Keneged Shmini Atzeres. The last day of Chanukah, this past Wednesday, was Shmini Atzeres of Chanukah. And Shmini Atzeres, we all know the famous Chazal, is a day of Kosher Lafridaschem. A day after all the Yom Tovim, where we say, Kosh Baruch Hu, Kosh Baruch Hu says, Kosher Lafridaschem. I don't want to leave you. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to leave us, we want to leave him. One more day together. Chanukah as well. We don't want to leave Chanukah. We didn't want to leave Chanukah. We want to stay connected to Chanukah. Emes is this year, Kosh Baruch Hu gave us a special matana to keep us connected to Chanukah, I believe. Spoke about this earlier in the women's year, but I cannot speak just this here as well. To give each other chizik and to understand, because not all of us opened up our eyes wide enough yesterday afternoon, to the amazing Nes Galoy that we saw with our own eyes. Shal Mordechai Rabashkin being freed from jail. To be able to see Yad Vashem, Yad Hashem. To see Yad Hashem, Emes. Mamish see Yid, who is suffering. And whether he deserved or he didn't deserve some amount of jail time. But we all know the last few years was suffering because he was a Yid. And his Mishpacha and his wife. And his children suffering because he's a Yid, the anti-Semitism to give him such a strong, lengthy sentence. And B'derech Teva should be in jail another 20 years. Mamish, the rave of his life in a sense, the core of his life, without his wife and children. And for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring such a geula yesterday, Keharavayim, it's such chizik. And when did it happen? When did it happen? I heard it with my own eyes, with my own ears. I heard it with my eyes, Mamish. Seeing is believing. Mamish was zoicha to be in the presence together with him last night. And he said, he sat down to Suda, he sat down to eat a meal in his jail cell, even though he said as well that he never was in jail. They thought they put him in jail. But when a Yid is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the Baal Bos, and you're never in jail. To have Suda 4:20 yesterday, and he's told, you're free to go. Couldn't believe it. You're free to go. Let's cheshbin yesterday. I don't know in Otisville what time Shkia was, but I'll tell you, yesterday Shkia year was about 4:30. 4:20 is 10 minutes before the end of Zeis Chanukah. Mamas, you can't orchestrate it better than that. Yad Hashem, if you don't see it with your own eyes, something's wrong with you. You got to check if you have a heartbeat. If you don't see the Nisim of yesterday, and that people say, what are we celebrating? You don't know, you don't understand. Open up your eyes and see. Open up your heart and feel. And see the Gilui Shechina. And the timing, impeccable timing. Chanukah. And he walked out. They told him, okay, you can pack up all your things. And he told, I heard him, I'm telling you, I saw, I was there with him. He said that he had lots of svarim and he was there for 8 years. He said, no, I'm out of here. I'm going. I'm not taking another minute in this place. If you let me go, I'm gone. He took his towels and tefillin, that's it, out. He said, send me the rest. He says that when he went in, someone gave him a Chavis Vol Shar B'Tachon to learn. And he would learn it. And when he took it in, he said he's going to walk out with this Sefer Bezat Hashem. So he ran out with just his Talis and Tefillin. Later he opened up his Talis and Tefillin. What was in the Talis and Tefillin? Chavis Vol Shar B'Tachon. A day or two before, he put it in there. He didn't even think. He left with it. Nisim Gluyim, and the Chizik as well, to understand also that Keherif Ayin there could be Gula. Keherif Ayin there could be Gula. Vada Bez Hashem with Mashiach Zakenu B'meiru. And it could be Mamish any moment. But in our Pratidika life, in our individual life, we go through tzaros, we go through difficulties, someone has a Machlal Aleinu. Just like yesterday we saw, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a little shtickle, Gila Shechina of any moment. So with any, with the chizik to all of us, any moment there could be gula in any area, and the gula shlema b'karav yameinu. Last night I'm telling you, I heard this, so I had to be a part of it. That's why I was learning. I was in DRS. I went. I saw in Yeshiva World when around 10:45, I was going to come home, and I saw his wife said to go into the oil. So myself with a friend of mine, we jumped in the car to go to my chavrusa. We went to the oil. So we're by the oil. A lot of people were there. We're waiting, we're fine, but he wasn't coming, whatever, we were davening, it was a Fabrengen, we were dancing, we were singing, it was very beautiful. But then we found out, he went to Borough Park, Baruch Hashem, he went to Borough Park, of course, he went to see his parents. He first went to Borough Park with me, he went whole Monty Trails bus, full of mishpach and people, they went to Borough Park. He went to see his parents, do we also open up our eyes to the Ashkocha? What's going to be this week's parsha? Yosef HaTzadik, reunited with Yaakov Avinu, and man, that's the parsha. Shalom Mordechai Rabashkin is reunited with his parents. Incredible! You can't make this stuff up. You can't deny Yad Hashem. So then we found out, we got some insight that he was going not straight to the oil, but he was going 770. So this was already after 12 o'clock at night. We're going! How can we not? You have the schus of Nisim Gluyim. You have the schus of Geula. Which we don't have when was the last time? What, 1967? I mean, what have we seen like this? So we jumped in the car, went to 770. We get there, and Mamish, right when he was getting there, we had to find parking, whatever. Everyone was waiting outside to greet him. When we got inside, it was thousands of people. Incredible. Like, I can't even explain. 1 o'clock in the morning. Thousands of people. And he's davening Meirev. You couldn't see him. It was packed. You couldn't move. And we get inside. It's incredible. I can't really, I feel like it was so kaddish, it's so simcha. You get inside and we're trying to maneuver our way and get close. We got pretty close to him, but you couldn't see him. He was blocked by hundreds of people still. But they're davening Ma'ariv Mamish like Yom Narayim. Ay, da, 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 da. It was beautiful. You felt it. You could not feel it. And then, so he finishes Ma'ariv and he makes Bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam B'Shem, Matir Asurim. To hear a Yid like this make a bracha matir asurim, He didn't think he'd make such a bracha for 20 more years. And then he comes and he moves to speak. And somehow he ends up literally 2 feet in front of me. It was, I don't know, understand even how it happened. I was there, but that's where he was. I'm honest, you can see, I have pictures of video. I'm not 2 feet in front of me. And he spoke for about 10 minutes. Incredible. I have it all. I forgot to send it out today to the Chevra. And then we danced with him. And we're dancing. It was Simcha. No Shmuel. The Simcha was like, not Simcha's Torah. It wasn't Simcha's Torah. It was a palpable geula. It was a Mashiach. You know, okay, with all Mashiachas, which is apikorsis and sad, and the Hashem Yerachim and all the neshamas that believe in such craziness. But it was a Mashiach's dik geula of Hargasha. That much I'll tell you. Strange that was in 770. I don't know. I'm just saying, it was what it was. That's where it was. He's a little Baba Shechazin. But you felt, that's what it was. It was geula dik simcha. And we were dancing with a band, and it was incredible. And I had this chus somehow. So he came down right where I was. I was right down. I had this chus, and brought me right to him. And I look, I just give him a big hug and kiss. And what else? What do you do to such a yid? A big hug and kiss. I said, Mazel Tov. And he gave me the biggest smile in the world. And Mamish lit up my life. I still feel it. A smile of just, we're one. And there's a Rabban Shalom, and there's Geula. And how can we not open our eyes? And when, as Chanukah, the last moment, what is the Eibishter telling us? He's telling us, Bayamim Ha'im Bazman Hazeh. Most people think Bayamim Ha'im Bazman Hazeh means in those days, at this time in the year. But maybe we say Bayamim in those days, Bazman Hazeh, this time as well. The Nisim are continuing, and we have to open up our eyes, and therefore Chanukah is continuing. Chanukah is continuing. Kashalaf Yudaschem, we don't have to separate. See that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our life always. It's not something we're celebrating from thousands of years ago. Happened yesterday. He's here. He's by our side. More Bez Hashem, he's always by our side. And we have to feel like this. And we have to live like this. Oh. That was incredible. But let's learn Torah. Because ultimately, listen as well. Yes, we have to open up our eyes and open our hearts and see the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in our lives always. And when you're living with Hashem, you're living Chanukah always, you're living with that aura, that light. But ultimately, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah. When it's a little darker, when I say it's a little darker, when we don't have a Chanukah, we don't have a Ravashkin miracle every day, so sometimes it gets a little dark. And when it gets a little dark, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah are. The aura of Torah we always have. And that's why Kash Lev Ridaskam Shemina Teres, but we link to Shemina Teres and Chas Torah. Because what we carry with us away and not to separate ever from Hashem is when we're connected to the Torah. So too, that has to be the Shemini Atzeres of Chanukah. So Chanukah is Torah. And they connected to Torah. And if we're staying connected to Torah, we'll stay connected to Hashem, the Or of Chanukah always, the Or HaGonz of Chanukah always. As the Midrash Tanchuma and Gimel and Parshas Noach says, the Or HaGonz is L'Oim Le'at Torah. I was sitting by my lich the last night of Chanukah, 2 nights ago. Zayis Chanukah, and I was staying, and I wanted to stay till Mamish. And I was sitting in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Zavi the Fala Matana, very pashut Matana, but very, very beautiful, I believe. Zayis Chanukah, that last day, Zayis Chanukah, is a Zayis, is Gematria 408. 408 is Gematria Tav Ches. What's Tav Ches? Talmud Chacham. Meaning what the Eibishter was telling us. That Zoyis Chanukah, you want to carry Zoyis Chanukah away with you, you have to be a Talmud Chacham. Ki nermes v'torah. If you're connected to Torah and the aura of Torah, you're connected to Chanukah, you're connected to Hashem always. So sometimes we could open up our eyes and Kodesh Baruch Hu brings the Nes Goloi like he did yesterday, but when we don't have those constant occasions, so just open up a Sefer and open up our eyes in the Sefer and we're with Hashem. So I want to learn together tonight a Torah that Mamish screams this whole message of the aura of the Rebbeinu Shalom. You know, this Torah, it's going to be a different shir than we usually have here Thursday night, I believe. And just seeing that we have a Kairos is different to begin with. We've been pretty good and much better since Rosh Hashanah, most weeks having like one big Yisoid that we learn, one of the Makairos. But here's the Mamish Makairos sheet, because we have to follow this all. Schuz Aaron David's copying machine. Bez Hashem Makar of Mamish. L'maisa. You know, usually the Thursday night shir, feel the ikr about me, try to give over Torah that talked to me that week, Torah that I connected to, that I enjoyed, that I was dancing from all week, and bring it together. But then also bring out big Yisodos and Yisairus for myself and for Chever to listen into. This shir, we don't have to even bring any Yisodos out, any Yisairus out, any Chizik out. We're just going to learn Torah. The Torah itself is screaming that how can you not want to just be with Hashem and be with Torah always? I learned the Torah. I've been so excited to give over this Torah. But this is a lot of cheshbon, and you gotta. It's late at night. Some of us have been up late this week a lot. You gotta follow this Torah. It's a lot of cheshbon. It's from the Heilige Shvili Pinchas. And the Red Sefer, I don't know what year he said this over. But it mamish is meinal mahaba. You ready, Chavir? You ready to learn? So we have the Korah sheets. Here we go. So if you look at this week's parashah, parashah Vayigash, in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Beis, we see that Yosef HaTzadik gave to all the Shvatim, he gave them all clothing. We all know this, right? So the Pasuk says, L'chulam nasan l'ish chalifos, smolois, u'levinyamin nasan sholosh me'as kesef, v'chamish chalifos smolos. So Yosef HaTzadik gave everybody clothing. So to all his brothers, he gave a nice suit. To Binyamin, his closest brother, he gave 5 nice suits and 300 silver coins. So Rashi there says, and then the pasuk, the next pasuk says, Ula aviv shalach kizos, and to his father he sent like this, Asara chamorim noisim mituv Mitzrayim, 10 donkeys carrying the good of Mitzrayim, ve'esar asonos, and 10 female donkeys, noisos bar, v'lechem mazon la'aviv l'derech, carrying all different types of food for his father for the road. So Rashi says, shalach kizos. What does it mean, shalach kizos? He sent like this. Rashi says, kichezben hazeh, like this chezben. Umar chezben, what was the chezben? Asar chamar. He sent like this. Now the question of Rashi is excellent. What do those words kichezben hazos mean? He sent like this chezben. But the answer of Rashi really is all just circular when it goes back to the question. Did Rashi give any answer? Think about it. The pasuk says, Ulaviv shalach kazois, he sent like this and says what he says. Couldn't have just written, Ulaviv shalach asar chamar. What does shalach kazos mean? Rashi doesn't really ever answer his question. What kizos? Like what? Like what he's going to say? So then just say it. So we have to understand this Rashi. This Rashi is a very short Rashi. The deepest of Rashis. I'm kissing this Rashi Shenkamo, what this kizos is. We'll get back to it. Hold that. So first we have to get back to obvious questions. The Gemara Megillah, we already see it. But we'll get to Gemara Megillah in a moment. We'll go Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says the obvious questions. And we'll read it together. The Megillah Tazayin Malaf to Tazayin Mebez. The pasuk that we just read says, L'kulam nasan lish chalifos smalos l'binyamin nasan chamesh chalifos. He gave each brother one change of clothing and Binyamin gave 5. So what's the Gemara ask? Efshar davar shenistar bo ozo tzadik yich koshel bo? Meaning what? What caused all the suffering to Yosef HaTzadik was the jealousy of his brothers. So he's going to create new jealousy? He's going to go do what they did to, what they were all jealous of him. So he's going to make them jealous of Binyamin? So some explain he was trying to test them and bring them to Tshuva Gemura, to be in the same Makom and Atu, right? Some explain like this. But listen to, what's the Gemara say? Amar Rav bar Machas, Amar Rav Chama bar Guria, Amar Rav. Bishvil Mishkal Shnei Salam Milas Yosef Yaakov LeYosef Mishar Ochiv Nisgalgal Davar Yard of Zedel Mitzrayim. And there, okay, the meaning is just explaining because of what extra that Yosef HaTzadik was given from Yaakov Vino. Ksoinis Pasim. His brothers were all jealous, and they all end up in Mitzrayim. So he's going to do the same. So Amar Binyamin Bar Yafes Remez Remez Lo Shaasud Ben Lasis Bimenu. This was all Remez that there's going to be a child that's going to come from him. Meaning a descendant is going to come from Binyamin. Shiyatul Ve'amelech, that's going to walk in front of the king, B'chamisha Levushe Malchus. In 5 articles of clothing, Shinemar, U'mordechai Yatul Levush Malchus, Tcheilas Vargon. Torah, Purim. But let's stop for a moment. Did we answer the question at all? We never answered the question. Meaning, shouldn't, still, L'maisa. So won't they still be jealous? Shkoyach. What the Gemara did explain was why 5. You know why 5? It was a remez to Mordechai HaTzadik that's going to come from Binyamin, Ish Yemini. But Lameisa, even your Meramis, but Lameisa, the brothers are going to be jealous. You're giving him so much more. Listen, Chevra, you ready? We're just starting, but there's a lot here. You ready? The Halakha of Vilna Gaon, the Gra says that the reason why there was no jealousy was because the value of the brother's one suit was equal to the value of Yosef's five suits. And the only reason, therefore, the Gemara is explaining, actually it was the same value. Why would he split it up to five to be Merames to Mordechai? But they're not going to be jealous, right? You go to the store, and you're going to go to Emporia over here, and you're going to get a nice Hugo Boss suit for $1,000. And Hugo Boss generally has shotness in the collar, so then you're going to have to go spend another $50 to get the shotness out from the tailor. But okay, it's worth it, because you want a nice Hugo Boss suit, right? So you're going to go there. Or, for Chvesnish, the same price, you go across the street to Suit Central, and for the same $1,000, you have five suits. You have five suits. Okay, for $100, you go to Karaku, gets five suits, I think. That's what they always claim. I don't know if anyone's ever walked in there. But you open up, you get 10 of everything, right? So maybe that was Binyamin, Mordechai, five of everything. I don't know. But Lamaisa. So, but ultimately what he's saying was, each of the Shvatim got one suit with the value of Binyamin's five, so there's no jealousy. In fact, if you look closely in the Pasuk that we read, it's in the first sheet, the first Pasuk, the Nativ points out, in Meray Mesada, that Lekulam Nasan Lish Chalifos with a Vav. All the brothers he gave Chalifos, first Makar. Chalifos with the Vav. And then the Yaminas and Shalshmeos Kazav Chamesh Chalifos, and there's no Vav. Same word, in the same Pasuk, one with the Vav, one without a Vav. The Vav is by the Shvatim was Male, because theirs was very precious. Their one Khalifa was very Chashim. The Chalifos of Binyamin were much less expensive. It was five equaling their one, so it's lacking the Vav, showing a little Chaser in each of his Chalifos. A Raya to the Gra from the Halakha Nativ. But we still have another question. Does that really even everything out? Shouldn't the Shvatim still have been jealous? Why? Read the Pasuk. Who has a question? What? 300 coins. What about that? Okay, Shkoyach. Lefi the Gra, the way the Gra understands, the articles of clothing were equal between the brothers and Binyamin. But he gave him also 300 coins. What about those? So Rabbeinu Bechaye and the Chizkuni and others, they explain. Listen, Mamish, we're just starting. Don't worry, hopefully it won't go so long, but we're just starting. I gotta follow. So they explain that Binyamin, you have to understand, all the other Shvatim, when they sold Yosef at Tzadik, they got money for that, and they split the money. They split the money for the sale. Who did not partake in the sale? Mm-hmm. Binyamin. So Yosef said, no, we still need to even things out. Binyamin deserves money because he wasn't part of the sale that sold me. And that has to be Shaveh. Mm-hmm. So where did he get to 300 silver coins? So if you look, incredible. So the next sheet in the Makairis. In Parashas Mishpatim, Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Lamed Beis, we say as follows. Wait a minute. Gemara Gittin. I just skipped one. First, let's go to Gemara Gittin. Sorry, in the first page. The Gemara Gittin says, "I kadam Rabbi Shuma Levi, Gittin mem dalid amar aleph, hamoicher avdol le'ovid k'chavim. If you sell a slave to Goyim, you sell an individual to a Goy, koyntzino so harasara bedamav. You get a knas 10 times the value. 10 times the value of the person, right? And what's the value of the person? So now if we look in Mishpatim, Perachof, Aleph, Pasuk, Lamed, Beis, Im Eved Yigach Hashar or Amo, let's say someone has a Eved, has a servant, and it's gored by someone else's ox, or the ox gored a maidservant, Kesev Shloshim Shkolim. How much is the value of the person? Shloshim. So the value of the person is Shloshim Shkolim, 30. But that value of that individual, which is shleishim of an eved, if you sell that eved to a guy, so you have to pay asara vidam of 10 times. What's 10 times 30? Very simple math, 300. So that's how some explain you get to 300. What? But we're getting there. Wait. That's the 300. But that would be, so good, excellent. So Tuvia, Lemaisa, we're saying, okay, Shkoyach, that's the full value. That would be the full value. So how does that make sense? So we have to say a little better, because we're trying to be exact here, right? Meaning the 10 Shvatim would have split that, 10 Shvatim would have split whatever they got. So whatever his value was, if his value is 30, they would have gotten 3 each. And even if you want to times that by, they would have gotten, so 3 times 10 would be 30 at most that he deserves. He shouldn't deserve the whole amount. Okay, I hear. So now we have to understand a little bit deeper. So let's remember, how much was Yosef HaTzadik sold for? So the Pasuk says in Parashas Vayeshev, it's the next Makar. Vayavru anashim midyanim soicharim. These merchants from Midian passed by. Vayimshichu vayalu as Yosef min habar. Vayimkaru as they pulled up Yosef from the pit. Vayimkaru as Yosef lishmaelim. And they ended up selling Yosef to the Ishmaelim. Be'esrim kesef. 20 silver coins. I know you're thinking, so where's that go? Shkoyach, 20 silver coins would be split. If we're going to go now with this new cheshbon, forget about the 30 that the pasuk there says. He was sold ultimately, it doesn't matter, it was 30. He was sold for 20. What does every shevet get to 10? Even if you want to times that by 10, every shevet gets 2. You want to times it by 10, so most binyamin should get 20. Where does he get 300? So these are 20 silver coins, but what type? There are different types of silver coins in the Torah. These 20 silver coins, what type were they? So we have to look in the Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah Peidal Yudches Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Atem Mechartem Ben Asher Rachel Be'esrim Kesef Mos Shehein Chamesh Slaim. You sold 20 Kesef of Mos, which are worth 5 Slaim. So ultimately it was 5 Slaim that it was sold for, right? And that's where he says, so therefore, Lefichach Yekoech Avechem Mafresh Erech Beno Chamesh Slaim B'man Atzur. That's the source why we do Pidyon HaBen for 5 slum. That's what the Medrash says. So these 20 coins were worth 5 slum. So if these 20 coins were worth 5 slum, how much does each shevet get? A half a sela, right? But if you look in Bisela, if it's 5 slum amongst 10 of the Shvatim, each of the Shvatim gets a half a sela. Okay? Shkoyach. Now keep that in mind. So Yosef HaTzadik was sold for 5 slum. Each shevet gets a half a sela. Now, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Beis Gimel, it says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. It's the next Makar. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Every member of Bnei Yisrael is holy. Reishis Tvuaso. It's like the first of the Tvuah. And Rashi there says, Ketruma. Every member of Klal Yisrael is like Truma. What does that mean, like Truma? So what happens when a person eats Truma, a Zor eats Truma? What happens when you eat truma that you're not allowed to be truma? So the next makar says in Parshas Emor, "Vishki yoichel kodesh bishkaga," a person who eats something that's kodesh by accident, the yosef chamishaso, he has to pay it back plus a fifth, right? To play plus a kanas of a fifth, the karen plus a fifth. Watch this. Now we're getting started. If every person in Klal Yisrael lefid. The pasuk Yirmiyahu, if Rashi explains, is considered truma. When the Shvatim took Yosef HaTzadik and sold him, it was kilu taking truma and using it in the wrong way, right? What? No, they thought they were allowed to. You could say, I mean, they thought they were doing what was right, whatever it is. So it was all b'shoygig on some level. So wait, so listen. So they all benefited a half a sela. They all benefited a half a sela that it was like truma. Who was the one who didn't partake? Yeah. Binyamin. So Binyamin didn't partake. Binyamin deserves schar for not partaking. What's the schar of when you do something right? So the next makar is you have a Tosfos in Soita, Daf Yud Aleph, and the Tosfos there says, when you do a mida toiva, you deserve 500 times whatever it is. So five, as far as schar. So Binyamin, by not partaking, deserves 500 times 500 times whatever each of the Shvatim got. Each of the Shvatim got, we just proved, a half a Sela. What's a half times 500? 250. That's not a good cheshbon. That's not what we want. Upper, what do we say when? What do you say? You have to add the knas of a fifth. So what's a fifth of 500? 100. So it's not 500 times. It's 600 times. 600 times a half is what? Exactly 300. The 300 silver coins were 300 sela that he deserved because he didn't partake. He didn't follow that cheshbon. The cheshbon is as follows. Again, you have each of the shvatim. Each of the shvatim get a half a selah. Binyamin didn't partake. So Binyamin deserves 500 times, but not just 500 times. He deserves 500 times plus a fifth. Because it's kilu, the punishment is you have to add the knas. So a fifth of 500 is 100. 600 times a half is 300. Those are the 300 coins. You hear? So it's all shavah. The garments were exact because the value was the same. As far as the extra 300, that was his chilek that he deserved for not partaking in the sale. It's nothing yet. We didn't even get started. We didn't even get started. Listen. You ready, Chevra? Oh. The Gemara Babasiya Taf Tzadi Hey, do we have it here? It says, Ela makra v'chiyish al vav moisif al inyan rishon v'yilmod elyon mitachton. Whenever you have a vav, it's not only moisif al inyan rishon, not only adds on to the earlier, but you could also learn elyon mitachton, the earlier from the later. So what do we mean? Where's there a vav? It says l'kulam nasan leish chalifa smalos binyamin nasan shalosh meskatim chamesh Khalifa Smalos, this is all that he gave to the Shvatim. Ula Aviv. It doesn't say a new thing. Ula Aviv. There's a Vav Achibur. And the Vav Achibur has to teach us not just a continuation to it, but from one to the other. Therefore, what? It must be that the No, we didn't get there yet. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the first pasuk. That's the Vav we'll get to. Step by step, we can't skip a step. Perek, the first pasuk. Because wait, l'kulam nasan lish chalifa smalos, ul binyamin nasan shalosh meos kasef v'kamesh chalaf smalos. That it must be, therefore, that whatever the value of the shiftei ka was equal to the value of binyamin, because of ul binyamin nasan shalosh meos kasef v'kamesh chalaf smalos. So the value of all of the shiftei ka together, the 10 shiftei ka, has to ula binyamin, has to be equal to binyamin's share. Meaning what? Let me scratch this again, 1 second. Oh. Sorry, different vav. One more vav. That's why I... It must ulavon ulavinyamin nasan shalosh meas kasef. To Binyamin he gave 300 coins v'chamesh chalifa smalos and 5. So it must be the vav is meisif may the vav is meisif. What's the lashon of the Gemara? The vav is meisif al inyan rishon v'yilman ilyan mitachton. So it must be that the 300 coins is equal to 500. I'm sorry, the 5 chalifos as well. Meaning what? That he gave Sholosh Meas Kasef, 300 coins, 300 sellers of silver, and V'chamesh Chalifa Smalos, and the 5 suits are also equal 300 coins of silver. Okay? They must, because the Vav tells me it's one and the same, and you learn Me'inyan Elyon L'tachtoin. So they're both worth 300. If they're both worth 300, listen as follows. If the 5 articles of clothing are equal 300 silver coins. So each of the 1 articles to the Shvatim is also worth 300, right? Because the 1 of the Shvatim was equal to 5 of Binyamin. So how much altogether was given to the Shiftei Ka together with Binyamin from Yosef HaTzadik? You have 300 times 10, right? Each of the suits, we just proved, each of the suits given to the 10 Shiftei Ka that did wrong to Yosef was worth 300, that's 3,000 selah, plus 300 coins given to Binyamin is 3,300, plus his 5 suits, it's also equal 300, 3,600 selah. Right? Good? Everyone's good with that cheshbon? Mm-hmm. Again, right? We just proved it. Sorry with mixing up which vav we're using, but we got it now. Okay, we're good. So, again, the vav is maisif rishon al elyon al tachton. So through the vav, we know the 300 coins is equal to the vichamesh chalifa smalos. The five suits have to be equal to 300 coins. So 600 was given to Binyamin altogether. And we know the five suits of Binyamin was equal to each of the suits given to the other 10 brothers. So 10 times 300 is 3,000, plus the 600 that altogether between the coins and the suits given to Binyamin. 3,600 tzela was altogether given to the Shvat. Now let's understand what was given to Yaakov. The next pasuk, Ulaviv Shalach Kizos. Ulaviv, also. Shalach Kizos, Kechesh Ben Azeh, Rashi said, which we didn't understand yet. What's that talking about? What was given to Yaakov Avinu? Here's where things get crazy. So there were 20 donkeys altogether, right? Asara Chamorim Nosim Mitub Mitzrayim, Esar Asonos. 10 male donkeys, 10 she donkeys, women donkeys. Altogether 20 donkeys. We'll get back to that in a second. There's a Rambam, and they were carrying food. That's what they were carrying. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Zuchiyah Matana. It's based on a Gemara. We're not going to. You can read through it. I have it here. But basically, the Rambam comes out that each suda is worth one dinar. Each suda is worth one dinar. Oh. Each suda is worth one dinar. We also have a Rambam. I'm sorry. We also have a Gemara in Erevin. I didn't put it down here because this whole cheshbon and based on the way that we understand the Gemara, and it's lengthy, but you could go through it. When we come out from the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis, is that each suda is three beitzim, three eggs. A suda is three eggs, and a suda is one dinar. So one dinar is three eggs. The Gemara Baba Siyah Daf Pei Amid Aleph also comes out that a donkey can carry normally 15 saw. Okay, you follow all that? One more. So a donkey can carry 15 saw. Each suda is one dinar, each suda is three eggs. With that information, listen to this cheshbon. You ready? Each saw, therefore, where do we get this cheshbon? Hold on. All right, chevra. So what we have is one, a suda is one dinar, a suda is three eggs, a donkey can carry 15 saw. Now, as far as the cheshbon goes, you should know, every saw is 144 eggs. Every saw is 144 eggs. So watch this now. Each donkey could carry 15 saw. So how many eggs could each donkey carry? How many baitsim could each donkey carry? 15 times 144. You don't have calculators in front of you, but 15 times 144 is 2,160. 15 saw times 144 eggs, 2,160. How many donkeys were there? 20. This is how, again, it wasn't only baitzim they were holding, but this was the shear, that's the measurement of the food. So you have 20 donkeys that can carry each 2160 of eggs. 2160 times 20 is 43,200. All 20 donkeys were carrying the measurement of 43,200 eggs. You chapped that we got that, right? Because you had each saw is 144 eggs. Each donkey, Lefi, the Gemara, and Baba Siyah carry 15 saw. 15 times 144 is 2160. 2160 times 20 donkeys is 4320. Now, upper what? How many sudas is that? Those 43,200 eggs, now we want to divide by 3. Because we already proved in the Gemara, Erevin Pei Beis Amid Beis, every suda is 3 eggs. 43,200 divided by 3 is 14,400 sudas. 14,400 sudas. And 14,400 sudas is equal to the value of 14,400 dinar. But as Tuvia pointed out, every dinar is equal to 4 selas. So if we want to transfer that into selas, you have the value of the food that were carried by the 20 donkeys with 14,400 dinar. Divide 14,400 by 4. How many slum do you have? 3,600 exactly. 3,600 exactly. We just proved that the value of all the food, the value of all the food that Yosef HaTzadik sent to Yaakov was exactly 3,600 slaim, exactly the value of all the clothing that Yosef HaTzadik gave to the Shiftei Ka. Rashi says a couple words which were shver. Rashi says, Ula'aviv sholach kizos, in the following, sholach kizos, kecheshben hazeh, like this cheshben. What does that mean? Meaning the same exact cheshben, zos, the same exact value, if you add up the 300 selah times 10 plus the 600 given to Binyamin, 3,600 value of clothing, is exactly the value of the 3,600 of the food that was sent to Yaakov Avinu. Game over. Game over. Do you understand? Did you hear this? I remember in 1992, the best NBA All-Star game. Now let me tell you about the NBA All-Star game in 1992. 1992 was the year that right before the season began, days before, Irvin Magic Johnson, one of the greatest players of all time, announced that he's HIV positive. Happened to be he was my favorite player of all time. Sadly, unfortunately, he did very terrible things and ended up with being HIV positive. Lemaisa comes out before the season. At that point, they didn't know much about, they didn't know close to as much as they do today about AIDS and HIV positive, and everybody got very, very scared. And basically, he retired from basketball. He ended up later coming back and playing a little bit, but never again really played for real. But this happened days before the season began. If I'm not mistaken, it was November 7th of the year, because that's my birthday. It's right about that. I think it was November 7th. And that's when the season begins, right around then. Now it's me. I remember I loved him so much, I had a whole wall in my room just of Magic Johnson. Anyways, Lemaisa, he's on the All-Star ballot. He was already on the All-Star ballot. They came out with the All-Star ballots. It wasn't like today on phones. Like, they gave real pieces of paper you had to fill out and punch little things. He was already on the All-Star ballot. But he retired. He wasn't going to play. The NBA decided, keep him on the All-Star ballot. Let's see what happens. Of course, he gets voted into the game. He's voted into the game. He's not playing the whole season. They say, you know what? He could play this one game. They found out, as long as he has no cuts, as long as whatever else. He plays in the All-Star game. He plays in the All-Star game. Now it's an All-Star game, granted. But back then, the All-Star games were somewhat serious, a little bit more than today. They were. Again, it's still an All-Star game, don't get me wrong. But he came out, I remember like yesterday watching this game. First half, he scored 16 points. It was interesting in the first half. He had 16 points. If I'm not mistaken, he had no assists in the first half. And Magic Johnson retired as the all-time leading assists in NBA history. Then it was taken over by John Stockton. Second half, he had 9 assists. But he didn't score. He just went off passing, assisting. But then towards the end of the game, he didn't take a 3 the whole game. He had some, you know. And this was back, this Michael Jordan's in the game, and Chvesnisht, Isaiah Thomas, and all the big, you know. And the end of the game, with a few minutes left, he takes a 3, hits a 3. Next play down, he takes another 3, hits the second 3. 2 in a row. Plays going wild. You know, this is just... Then there was a few plays where he was on defense and everybody went to one side and it's like Michael Jordan against Magic, 1-on-1. And Michael doesn't score. Next play down, Isaiah Thomas on Magic, 1-on-1. Isaiah doesn't score. Isaiah shot an air ball. Michael just missed. And then the West, finally, they're coming down. There's like 30-something seconds left to the game. And Magic Johnson has the ball at the top of the key and he's backing in Isaiah Thomas. And he's 2 feet in from the three-point line. And then he takes a dribble and takes a back step behind the 3. Again, he just hit 2 in a row. And falling away, he hits a 3-pointer. His 3rd 3. Mamish, I remember like yesterday. I could tell you the play-by-play. I could talk it out. Yes. Okay, it could be I watched it about 50 times after that then. But I'll tell you like this. I don't remember exactly what, maybe 13 seconds left on the clock. They just stopped the game. They just stopped the game. I don't know if ever in history there was another game like that. They just stopped the game. They didn't play the last 13 seconds. When he hit that third three, they had to just, game over, finished. Game over! To end the game like that, that's how it's supposed to end. They, of course, gave him the MVP. They hit a third three like that, falling away when he just retired. He shouldn't have been playing. A performance like out of a storybook. Game over. They just stopped the game. Everybody stopped the game. No, and everyone knew it. It was like they didn't. The rest didn't have to. Everyone just stopped. The game was over. They just celebrated. Finished. You can check this up. It was crazy. That's how I feel right now. Game over. Game over. You hear a Torah like this, game over. How can you, Mamish, I don't know why we're not tansing. Maybe because we tansed enough last night. Never enough to tansing, but Lemaisa, you hear a Torah like this. I hope, again, I know tonight, I was at the Cheshbon, I said it over, I hope everyone chapped it and followed. You hear a Torah like this, should be game over. And the game over is just to see the beauty in Torah, the Kedusha of Torah, the Amkus of Torah. This is Chochma Elokis. How beautiful it is. But let's add one more step. We should stop there, but one more step. One last step. Shvil Pinchas says, this is crazy, because I never saw Shvil Pinchas quote him in any other piece. He said he was learning a sefer, I think it's called Taimed Dekra, from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he said, had a very similar cheshbon, almost the same way. Rav Chaim! Not Rabbi David, Rav Chaim! And he said, Rav Chaim had a osafa. His osafa is as follows. This is a Mishnah in Yuma. And the Mishnah in Yuma talks about the big day kahuna of the Kohen Gadol. And it says, B'shachar ha'yaloivesh pilusim shal shneimas armana. In the morning he was wearing pilusim. What are pilusim? Listen to this. Egyptian threads. Egyptian threads. Of shnei master mana, of 12 mana. Every mana is equal to 100 dinar. 100 dinar is 25 slum. He was wearing of shnei master mana of it 12 times. 12 times the 25 sela, 12 times 25. Is exactly 300. The value of the Egyptian thread that he was wearing was 300 slaim. Exactly the value of each of the suits that Yosef HaTzadik gave out to his brothers with Egyptian threads. To bring us back to that moment. Again, game over. Again, game over. You can't make this stuff up. Incredible. Years ago, someone once asked Rav Uri Zohar. Rav Uri Zohar is of the biggest Baal Makariv in Eretz Yisrael. And asked him, what's the best way to be Makariv people, to bring people closer to Hashem? And people would think, he'd say, oh, bring them to your Shabbos meal, little Shabbos, bring them to Chves Nesh Purim Suda, bring them to Simchas Torah, Tanting in Shul, some inspirational moment. You know what he answered? Set up a Chavrus and learn Torah with them. There's nothing more inspiring. There's no way closer to Hashem. Chaver, you learn a Torah like this. We don't need the words of Cyrus and Chizuk. We just have to realize this is, you learn a Torah like this, you see Hashem, you live with Hashem. It is Hashem. It's Chachma Elokis. As the Tanya says, we're hugging Hashem. As Neshe Chaim says, we're learning with Hashem. It is Hashem. How can we not want more and more and more in this and see Hashem? And when you live with Hashem, you start to see Hashem everywhere. Like we started off by saying yesterday, we had the schus to see Hashem, Begiloy, with the Nes of the Gula of Rabashkin. But how do you continue that? Simchas Torah is Shmini Atzeres. We continue that by learning Torah. And not every Torah is going to come together in this way, but every Torah has the same Chachma. Every Torah is Hashem. And the more we see Hashem in Torah, the more we see Hashem in our lives, the more we live with Hashem every moment, until we're Zoyche, to Mamish, not just a Geula of one individual, but Geula Shleim of all of Klal Yisrael, with Biach Mashiach and Keinu B'mehera B'yameinu. Amen. Amen.